Good evening, everyone. God bless you all. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We do believe that you want to speak to us tonight. And we pray that, Lord, you'll encourage us, stir us up, move us on, help us, Lord, to lay hold of all that you're saying. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It was 12 weeks ago that Prime Minister Boris Johnson stood on the steps of 10 Downing Street and addressed the nation with bold optimism, with clear confidence, in a forthright manner. He inspired the nation. Do you know, I was watching him at the time, listening to his words, and I was inspired, I was moved by what he was saying. He was aware of the obstacles that lay ahead. He was conscious of the enemies that he had to face. He was all too aware of the doubters that were there, but with a bold confidence, an optimistic outlook, he spoke. Former Prime Minister and statesman Sir Winston Churchill said, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity. An optimist, however, sees the opportunity in every difficulty." And I believe that's so important for you and I. We need to have a bold optimism. Do you know, the right mindset is crucial. If we're going to lay hold of all that God has got for this church, if we're going to move into everything that God has promised in his word for us as individuals, if Boris Johnson can come out with his optimism, often empty rhetoric, you and I need to be filled with that sense of revelation as to what God is saying to us and be optimistic about it. When we look at Joshua and Caleb, they were moving into the promised land. That they'd spied it out and they were encouraging others, 2 million, to move in. They were stirring people up to see that it was possible. And their mindset was this: we are well able to go in and take the promised land. We can do it. The other 8 spies, they were very different in their mindset. They said, "We seem like grasshoppers in our own sight." That's the way they were thinking. That's how they thought of themselves. "We seem like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we did to the enemy. We're not able to go in and take the promised land." And I believe that confident, bold optimism is so crucial. So I want to speak tonight about tackling toxic thoughts. Anything toxic is potentially harmful. It can remain around for years. And you know, it's certainly true as far as our thought life is concerned. Winning the battleground of the mind, tackling those toxic thoughts and finding victory in the area of our thought life begins to permeate out from us to other people. Listen to this in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you by the mercies of God to present yourselves to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your spiritual worship." Here it is. "Do not be conformed to the world, rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Can you see here that our entire lives can be transformed by the way that we think, by what's going on up here in our thought life? This isn't mind over matter. It's not the power of positive thinking, but it's bringing our thoughts into line with what God says in his word. Did you know that whatever your mind is focused on will always have a controlling influence in your life? If your mind is focused on the negative, it'll make you negative. If your mind is focused on the positive truth of God's word, it'll make you a very positive person. Now, it's a well-established fact that the silent internal chatter of self-talk that goes on up here in our heads all day long is something that occupies the minds of each one of us. It can transform or trap our lives, the way we think, the thoughts that go on up here. Psychologists estimate that we speak to ourselves at the rate of 1,300 words a minute. That's extraordinary, isn't it? 1,300 words a minute are going on up here in our minds. And of course, not out loud. The way that we function in our brain is in concepts. It's in pictures. And the old saying is true, isn't it? A picture paints 1,000 words. And just to show you the capacity of our brain, I want you to imagine yourself on the motorway. You're driving along on the motorway and you see something happen. A fast car comes past you. Now, the thoughts going on in your mind could be these. Wow! That white speeding BMW driven by that young man in the outer lane of this busy motorway must be traveling at least 95 miles an hour, and he's likely to cause an accident if he's not careful. There's 39 words there, full of facts, full of information, full of detail, but in a second, because of the image, the flash thought, the picture that comes to us, in a second we can sum up all those 39 words in our minds. And you know, chattering to ourselves would not be a problem if it wasn't for the fact that much of our self-talk is toxic. It's negative. Because of this, if we don't take control of our minds, our thoughts will take control of us, which is why the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. We limit or we liberate our potential by the way that we're thinking. If we think we're going to fail, we'll fail. If we think we're no good, we'll be no good. But if we start to think, well, glory to God, I am more than a conqueror. If we start to think, Christ always causes me to triumph. If we start to think, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, having those positive thoughts that are in line with God's word begins to change our life. It brings an inner strength to us. Many people go through life convincing themselves, I'm not good enough. I'm going to fail. I'm not talented. I'm too fat, too thin, too short, too tall. I'm no one special. I'm a low achiever. It's not going to work. As a result, they become trapped by this inner dialogue, which is reinforced by the slightest mistake we make and the least negative comment we hear somebody has made about ourselves. So let's look at tackling toxic thoughts and consider three simple things. Number one, the seriousness of the condition. Number two, the significant causes. And number three, the solution to the conflict. First of all, then, the seriousness of the condition. Toxic thoughts are more widespread than the common cold. They have the potential to poison and to pollute not only ourselves, but all our relationships, you know, between husband and wife, people in the church, those in our family, in our business, at work. Toxic thoughts begin to affect not just us, but other people as well. What we find is this: they can consume and control us. They're seen in how we speak, the way we react, the things that we achieve in life. Toxic thoughts, for example, like anger, resentment, anxiousness, self-doubt, fear, lust, discouragement, self-interest, being judgmental, critical, thinking irrationally, etc. They're all destructive and they diminish the potential of our lives. They affect every aspect of our living, including our physical well-being. Some health experts speculate that up to 75% of all diseases could be connected to the thought life, and only 25% to diet, genetics, and the environment. Some studies link many chronic diseases to an epidemic of toxic thoughts and emotions in our lives that bring illness to us. I believe a lot of disease today is caused by dis-ease within our spirit, dis-ease within our minds. I was speaking at a conference, it was a medical conference, a Christian conference, medical conference. There were psychiatrists, doctors, nurses there at the conference. And partway through the conference in the break, I took the opportunity to ask them what they thought about the possibility of our thought life bringing sickness into our bodies. And each one of them, without any question, said, there's no doubt it brings sickness into our bodies when we've got thoughts that are toxic, that begin to poison our lives. According to the British Medical Journal, it says there that there is not an organ or a tissue in the human body that is not influenced by the attitude of mind and spirit. You and I are so incredibly made that everything in our makeup is interlocked and interwoven with one another. And what goes on in one area of our being tries to transfer itself across into other areas of our life. Now, we can identify the presence of toxic thoughts in our own lives tonight by asking the following questions. See how you get on. How many could have, would have, should have statements do I turn over in my mind? How often are if-onlys a part of my inner self-talk? How frequently do I replay in my head a conversation or situation that hurt, offended, or made me anxious, even one that hasn't yet happened, but it might happen? How much time and energy is speculation in my thought life taking out of my day? Do I find myself dwelling on past regrets or thinking that the past is going to determine my future? Do I find myself thinking other people don't like me and are always judging me? Do I have thoughts that I'll never amount to anything very much? Thoughts of being inadequate, unworthy, or something about me is lacking? And one other, do I make comparisons of myself with other people and worry about what other people think of me? Do you know, if you can identify with any of these questions, then you've got toxic thoughts that need to be dealt with, because they will be destructive to your confidence, destructive to your destiny, destructive to your well-being. Having looked at the seriousness of the condition, let's consider the significant causes, and we'll see clearly that they're more complex than probably we can imagine. First of all then, a significant cause for toxic thoughts that go on in our brain is a shallow relationship with Christ. Carnal or worldly Christians are always weakened by unspiritual thoughts. Little or no relationship with Christ leaves us in a very vulnerable position. The great author and Bible teacher Selwyn Hughes, he once said, "To the extent that your deepest hunger and thirst are not towards God, to that extent will you have spiritual and psychological problems." I believe this is so true and so obvious, because you and I were meant to function in a certain way, according to the Maker's instructions, according to what God says in His Word. If we're to reach our full capacity and function at our very best, it can only be done when we're doing so according to God's Word. Therefore, compromise and half-heartedness, disobedience to God's word, opens a wide door to the pollution of unhealthy and unspiritual thinking, which is why the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 6, the mind that is set upon the flesh is death. Do you notice it doesn't say leads to death? No, it is death. Whenever we begin to think in an unspiritual way, a way that's contrary to God's word, a deadness comes into the vibrance and the vitality of our Christian lives. A significant cause also is our upbringing. Echoes from our past can have a powerful effect upon our present. The emotional baggage of things which were said to us and how we were treated as we grew up at home, at school, and amongst our peers leave their scars upon our psyche. They remain deeply embedded in the hard drive of our minds. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 3 and verse 13, forgetting those things that are behind. It's so important that we deal with the past, that we let it go. We cannot move on and move into all that God has got for us if we're holding on to issues from the past, or if the past is holding on to us in any way. Never let your past memories affect your future dreams. I was speaking in Wales about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. There was a worship leader there, one of the ladies in the church, tremendous anointing upon her. She was able to inspire other people to worship. She encouraged other people to reach out to God, and she was greatly used by God as the congregation worshiped the Lord. And then I invited everyone after the message to come down for ministry. She was one of the first people that came down. She broke her heart as she sat on one of the seats. She said, "I'm useless, I'm a failure, nothing I do ever goes right." I said, "How long have you been thinking like that?" She said, "All my life. When I was a child, my parents never showed love to me, never encouraged me. The friends that I had around me were always poking fun at me. When I got married, eventually I was married into an abusive relationship. My husband was always putting me down and telling me that I was useless and no good." And here was someone that under the anointing, she was greatly used by God. She wasn't being a hypocrite. God had really moved upon her, and she was encouraging others to worship the Lord. But the moment she stepped down off that platform, it was like she was stepping into darkness. She just broke down and wept and wept. "All my life I've been like this." She was a broken, bound, bruised woman. But the real issues were what was going on up there in her mind that held her prisoner and captive to her past. Another cause for toxic thoughts is today's godless culture that we live in. No wonder the Bible says, "Don't be conformed to the world." When we look around today, frequently in society, a person is judged by how they look, the job they hold, the car they drive, the people they associate with, the size of their bank balance. The images of success, beauty, and worth. When we look at glossy magazines or adverts on the TV or Hollywood images on films, you've got to be a certain shape. You've got to have a certain height or a certain strength or certain abilities. And you know, they feed us godless values, distorting our thinking, leaving us with the feelings that we don't measure up, that something about us is not right. Thank God the Bible says that while man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. That's the important, isn't it? Important thing, that God's value of us, God's sense of worth that he places upon our lives. That's the crucial thing. Jesus said a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's not a case of what we have or what we possess, but who we know, the relationship that we've got with God. But the godless culture we're living in today is trying to press us into a mold and cause us to feel in a way that we just are not good enough. And then, of course, life's painful circumstances, the hard knocks of life, they impact us sometimes in ways that we don't realize, and they can bring a fragmentation to our personality. Hard knocks like failure, unemployment, illness, rejection, bereavement, betrayal, abuse, etc. They all shape and make us what we are and contribute to our mindset, our confidence, and our security. But the Bible teaches us a different mindset to the hard knocks of life. In James 1 and verse 2, if we could adopt this mindset, imagine how our lives would be transformed. James 1 and verse 2, "Count it all joy when you meet various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." But we've got to know it in our hearts. We've got to know that God is able to bring good out of evil, that he's the sovereign Lord working in every situation for good. The hard knocks of life are something that we're all going to experience. And unless we've got a right mindset towards them, we'll always find ourselves defeated by them. We find an encouraging insight to the mindset that the apostle had. When he was going through a particularly difficult time, there came a moment, it was only for a few seconds, but a moment where he had a mindset of despair. Hard to imagine, isn't it? The great apostle Paul having a mindset, a thought life that was one of despair. But he caught hold of himself and turned it around, and look at the difference it made. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, Paul said this: "We were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt that we'd received the very sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." And so there was that moment where he wavered. That mindset of despair was very real. But he could see that God could work in the situation. God could turn it around in the most amazing way. Another cause that is very significant with toxic thoughts, and this is so powerful, it affects every one of us here: toxic people around us. Don't let your life become a dumping ground for other people's toxicity. Do you know when people come grumbling, come with their negative comments, come complaining, it can be a major means of polluting our mind and our emotions. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. We've got to be amongst the same people with the same mind and the same thought process. When you look at the New Testament church, no wonder they were so strong and so effective. They were of one heart, one mind, one soul, and one spirit. There was a sense of unity of mindset. The moment they lost that mindset, and division and quarreling and petty issues came in, they were defeated and lost the blessing of God. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says we've got to encourage one another and build one another up. Encourage people to have the right mindset, to think of themselves in a way that is the same as God thinks about them. And when people encourage us, we know it makes us feel 10 feet tall, doesn't it? When someone says something good about us, some thoughtful word and some kind word to us, it strengthens us. Do you know the church needs strengthening? The church needs building up. And if toxic thoughts are flying around and beginning to be expressed by people, it just pulls down the church and begins to paralyze the church. It also says in Titus 3 and verse 9, avoid foolish debates, questions, and quarreling. Now it's talking about the things that are going to spoil our lives, the things that are going to spoil the church. And something that is so toxic and very popular is arguments and discussions about issues. And do you know where people like to argue? Which is the best Bible translation that you could... Oh, you don't use the King James Version? Why not? And people like to argue and discuss and debate about when the rapture is going to come and when the tribulation is going to be here and whether we can lose our salvation or not. And more often than not, people that get into those sort of discussions and debates, they don't want to hear what you believe. They want to tell you what they believe. And it can become divisive and destructive. That's why the Bible says it profits nothing. We've got to avoid it because it doesn't profit us in any way. And one other on this significant causes for toxic thoughts is the fiery darts of the devil. His lies, his distortions, those fiery darts of doubt and fear and temptation, the torment that goes on in our mind as the devil attacks. The devil's influence is a major cause for toxic thoughts, but notice I've purposely put it right at the end, specifically so that we don't blame the devil for everything. We take responsibility for the way that we're thinking. We take responsibility for the things that are going on in our life. We don't just blame the devil for it. But having said that, he certainly will take advantage over every one of the points that I've mentioned. He'll take advantage over a shallow relationship with Christ, our upbringing, today's godless culture, life's painful circumstances, toxic people around us. He'll use those things to try and bring us down and defeat us. So having looked at the seriousness of the condition and the significant causes, let's just consider the solution to the conflict. How to turn toxic thoughts around. We begin by going back to the opening verse that we started with in Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God to present yourselves to God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Number one then, first and foremost, present yourselves to God. Begin every day by coming to the altar. You see, the altar is the only place that you and I will ever be altered. Not the psychiatrist's couch or the doctor's surgery, the pharmacist's counter or the self-help group. The way that we're going to be altered in a meaningful way is when we come to the altar before God. We yield ourselves daily. We surrender ourselves daily to live for the glory of God, whatever the cost. We yield ourselves with the mindset of being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Now, when we come to the altar, we begin the day by coming to the altar to yield our lives to him. If we've got any toxic thoughts like unforgiveness or wrong attitudes, for example, the Holy Spirit will convict us. You can't come to the altar in sincerity and the Holy Spirit convict you and not do something about it. If the Holy Spirit shows us that we've got unforgiveness, we've got to forgive. We've got to ask God's forgiveness to get rid of that toxicity of resentment and a wrong attitude. And this is what Jesus taught in Mark 11, verse 23. When you stand praying, forgive if you've got aught against anyone. Can I ask you tonight, have you got aught against anyone? The command of Jesus for our own benefit is that we forgive. And the mindset that Jesus teaches that begins to transform our life is extraordinary. In Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. What a mindset. Talk about having the mind of Christ and being a new creation. When we adopt that mindset, it begins to bring a great strength to us. Secondly, the solution to the conflict is we've got to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, notice the helmet is vital. I mean, all the pieces of that, the armor of God is crucial, but the helmet protects that place that we could be dealt a fatal blow, that place that could wipe us out. It protects the mind, the head there. And when we put on the helmet of salvation, we dwell upon his salvation. What Christ has accomplished, we dwell upon his glorious victory, upon Satan's utter and absolute defeat. We dwell upon what Jesus has made us, what salvation has brought into our lives. As we do that, we're reminded that salvation has completely dealt with our past, provided for our present, and secured our future. To maintain that protection, though, we've got to make sure that we remind ourselves with that helmet of salvation in Romans 8, verse 6, the mind that is set upon the Spirit is life and peace. Yes, the mind that is set upon the flesh is death, but the mind that is set upon the spirit is we're thinking about the greatness of our salvation, what Jesus has done and what Jesus has made me. It's life and peace to us each day. Thirdly, the solution to the conflict, we've got to persevere, be alert, and raise that shield of faith. We've got to be persistent. Every fiery dart that is coming against our mind, every lie of the enemy, every torment, every thing that's come to belittle us, we immediately make a reaction to the situation. And that's exactly what Jesus did in Matthew 4. When Jesus was facing toxic thoughts and the enemy was trying to bring Jesus down, he immediately reacted, "It is written." It is written. As the devil was trying to bring into his mind those toxic thoughts, he responded immediately, raising that shield of faith, saying, "It is written." We're in a battle, not only against the devil's temptations, but also our double-mindedness, our carnal nature. Galatians 5:17 says, "The flesh wages war against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." This battle is going on every day within us all. And so that importance of persevering, of raising up the shield of faith, to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, singing songs of faith and gratitude, speaking out positive affirmations. "I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says that I can do." We're raising that, we're reacting to the attack. We're not passively just letting it bombard us. We're reacting to the attack. In Psalm 107, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I believe there needs to be a lot more say-sowing. We need to speak out the word of God, speak out his goodness, react to that attack that is coming against you, and speak out what God has done, what God has accomplished, what God through salvation has brought into our lives. And the last one is this: proactively eliminate toxic thoughts. So we're not talking about just reacting to the fiery darts that are coming, the doubts, the lies, the torments, the fears, the insecurities. Reacting, that's important. Before any fiery dart comes, we've got to prepare our minds. We've got to strengthen our thought life. We've got to be proactive before that toxic thought occurs. That's why it says transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our minds, cleanse it, and keep it clean by washing it with the water of God's word. Listen to this, it's remarkable. "Soak your mind in the scriptures so that like cloth soaked in dye, the two become inseparable and your thinking is permanently colored by the word of God." Imagine your thought life right throughout the day being inseparable from what God's word says. Permanently colored by God's word. That's how Jesus was able to react to the situation instantly, in which he didn't entertain the thought. His thought, when that negative attack came against him, was according to the word of God. That's why Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." We've got to cleanse ourselves, strengthen ourselves, equip ourselves before the attack comes by the word of God. But also praying in tongues is a remarkable way in which we can deal with toxic thoughts. The gift of tongues, where the Bible says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself up." When we're speaking in tongues and we're beginning to transform our thoughts through the gift of tongues, it's extraordinary. I came across this statement, and a lot of research has been done about it. But this particular man, psychiatrists have got together and done the necessary research for this. It's entitled, Praying in the Spirit Changes Our Brain and Causes Healing. Psychiatrist and brain specialist Dr. Carl Peterson has conducted research for several years at a Tulsa University on how speaking in tongues influences the brain to bring benefit to the body. Some amazing things were discovered. Through his research and testing, he found that as we pray in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, there is a unique activity that begins to take place in our brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. Amazingly, this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by our Spirit-led prayer and worship. One of the ways we can just strengthen our thought life, cleanse our thought life, benefit our body, speaking in tongues. And this last scripture I'll leave you with shows you the proactive nature of what we're talking about. We're doing something before any attack comes. In Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and anything worthy of praise, then think on these things. So we're choosing each day, as we're going through each day, to dwell upon those things that are good and pure and lovely, rather than all the rubbish and all the destructive nature of the things that are in the world today. In conclusion then, the silent internal chatter of self-talk that goes on in all of our minds affects every area of our being. This constant dialogue with ourselves can transform or trap our lives. If we don't take action, toxic or negative thoughts become destructive and diminish our potential. They've got the power to poison and pollute not only ourselves, but also all our relationships. Therefore, let us, number one, realize the seriousness of the condition. Number two, recognize the significant causes. And thirdly, respond by applying God's solution to the conflict. We can win the battleground of our mind. And in doing so, our entire lives can be transformed. We don't have to go on thinking the way that we have. We don't have to go on living the way that we have. Don't be conformed to the world. Rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that you've created us in such an amazing way that we can only ever get the best out of our individual life when we live according to your words. Lord, help us to dwell upon that simple word of our life being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us, Lord, to identify any toxic thoughts that we've got towards anyone, even towards ourselves. And help us, Lord, begin to take action to do something about it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And as always, if any want prayer, come and ask for prayer. And I believe God will just encourage and strengthen and help you. Thank you. God bless you.